God's peace to you in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the word of God from Acts 17 and Genesis 11. Acts 17 says, "From one man God made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth." And from Genesis 11, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their languages so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Racism is a consequence of sin and evolutionary thinking. The series that we've been going through on Genesis 1 to 11 is to get us to build all of our thinking on the foundational truth of God's Word. So what does God's Word have to say about race? God's Word teaches us that there is just one race of human beings, and we would call it the human race. God's word says in Acts 17, "From one man, which is Adam, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth." In recent years, those working on the Human Genome Project announced that they had put together a draft of the entire sequence of the human genome. The researchers have unanimously declared that there is only one race, the human race. In fact, geneticists tell us the difference that we see between different people groups, such as skin color, hair color, eye color, facial features, the shapes of the eyes, and so forth, make up only 0.01% of our entire makeup. In other words, what may have for far too long been seen as racial differences are nothing more than the external artistic beauty that the Lord has worked into His creation. But other than those simple differences, we are all fully human. And the fact that all people groups or nations on earth make up a singular human race can be seen in the fact that, for example, a Native American can receive an organ transplant from an Asian person. Or a white person can receive a blood transfusion from a black person. Why? Because we all belong to one human race. And we all have the same ancestors, Adam and Eve. Oftentimes, when we see artistic renderings of Adam and Eve, they're frequently shown to be fair-skinned. But that is highly unlikely, because in order to get all of the different skin shades that we see in our world today, Adam and Eve would have had to have been probably middle brown in color. Adam and Eve would have had to have both the light color genes and the dark color genes in their DNA in order for their ancestors to have that wide range of beautiful skin colors that vary from very light to very dark in our world. In the same way, Adam and Eve would have had all the necessary genetic information in their DNA to produce the wide variety of people, different heights and hair color and facial features, eye color, eye shapes, and all the other distinguishing characteristics that we see in our world today. And why would God have created them with such a wide array of genetic information? Because our Lord is a masterful artist. And everyone of every people group, with all of their external differences, make up one human race. And it is beautiful to God. And every individual of every people group is a piece of art created by a loving God. Sadly, one of the main human characteristics that has given rise to racism is skin color. But did you know that even our skin color, when you understand it, gives more evidence that we're all of the same race, not different races? You see, every human being on planet Earth has the same pigment for skin color in their bodies. And that pigment is a brown pigment called melanin. Every person has melanin in them, from those who are very light colored to those who are very dark colored. The only difference in one's skin color is determined by the amount of pigment or melanin that they have in their cells, which is determined by one's genetic information, which goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, and the genetic information that he built into them. However, all of these external differences that we make such a big deal about in a bad way, we should view as the beauty of God's creation. And yet to think that we speak of others as of a different race, when the reality is that all of these external differences make up only 1/100th of 1% difference between people. Why? Because we're all part of the same human race. So how did God give Adam and Eve, how did Adam and Eve give rise to all the different people groups with all the different external characteristics that we see? Well, years later, the descendants of Adam and Eve, there was a couple named Noah and his wife. And they and their three sons and three wives came off of the ark after the flood. And they were the only eight people living on planet Earth at that time. And in Genesis 11, we're told that later on their descendants settled on the plains of Shinar, which would have been the vicinity of modern-day Iraq. And it was those descendants of Noah and his wife, and earlier of Adam and Eve, who said to themselves, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." The serpent who once said, "You can be like God yourself," was doing his dirty work on the plains of Shinar. To be blessed by the Lord wasn't good enough for Noah's descendants. They wanted to be their own gods and come up with their own way into heaven. We still see that lie today when people say that all ways lead to heaven. And from our perspective, what the Babylonites tried to do may seem overwhelmingly foolish to us, but the impossibility of building a tower that reaches into the heavens is an example of the depths to which your sin and mine will drag us if we let it have its way with us and don't repent of it. Despite the fact that there is no other way into heaven except through God's Son, Jesus, the world is still full of sinners trying to build their own towers of Babel. You see, when it's all said and done, you and I are either going to base our hope of heaven on the works of our hands or on the work of Jesus' crucified hands. So what's it going to be for you? Babel's tower or Jesus' cross? Now, do you remember what happened to the Tower of Babel? God's word says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building." Now, this is actually humorous, our attempts at playing God. For if God, who is all-seeing and all-knowing, still had to come down to see the tower the Babylonites were building, that emphasizes how puny our sinful attempts are trying to build our own way to heaven. When the Lord saw the Tower of Babel, if there's one thing the Lord wasn't afraid of, it was of losing his lordship. But he did see trouble brewing. What God saw was that there would be no limit to the people's sinful rebellion against him, and no limit to the damage they would do to themselves and their descendants if they were allowed to continue playing God. Countless souls would be lost. What was at stake at the Tower of Babel was not God's kingdom. He will always have his kingdom. What was at stake was our place in God's kingdom. God summarized the problem with these words in Genesis 11. If, as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they cannot understand each other. So the Lord scattered them, that is, the descendants of Noah and his wife, the Babelites. He scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. And that is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world and scattered them over the face of the whole world. And this, brothers and sisters, is where we get the rise of the different people groups. Not different races. There's only one race, the human race. But this is the beginning of the different people groups, with all the different variety of external characteristics that we see, which are beautiful in God's eyes. But it leads to racist ideas because of our sin and because of evolutionary thinking. You see, racist attitudes arise from sinful hearts that believes oneself to be better than others. But these racist attitudes were also fueled by the so-called science of evolution and led to countless racist actions. For example, African pygmies were literally displayed along orangutans in a cage in the Bronx Zoo in New York many years ago. Congo pygmies were believed to be small, ape-like, elfish creatures. We see this racism when scientists first discovered the Aborigines in Australia, and they believed them to be not as evolved as the white man from the apes. I hope you see again how evil and corrupt evolutionary thinking is. It is not unbiased science. And it was as a result of Darwinian evolution, many people, even so-called scientists, started thinking of these different people groups as different races that hadn't evolved as far as we have. And rather than seeing them as equal human beings created by God and seeing their external differences as what I like to call the beauty marks of God. So once again, what we need to do is we need to build all of our thinking on the truth of God's word rather than on man's opinions. And what God's word teaches in Acts 17 is from one man, God made all the nations of the earth that they should inhabit the whole earth. Throughout history, there have been many times where the church has failed either in condoning slavery or in refusing to speak out against racism. Sadly, when Christians from England first discovered the American Indians, they refused to believe that the Indians could be descendants of Adam and Eve, for they did not want to place them, because of their skin color and the attributes that they saw externally, on the same level as themselves. And so they were viewed, they viewed the Indians as pre-Adamites, who must have arisen from different parents than Adam and Eve, and in so doing, they undermine the truth of God's word. I hope you see in that example how evil the heart of man truly is. Thankfully, there were other Christians throughout history, including men like Abraham Lincoln, a true believer in Jesus, who saw that all human beings have the same intrinsic God-given value. There were many Christians, black and white, who fought to set those who were enslaved free. Why? Because we're all created by God and are equally loved by Him. In the Old Testament, Job recognized that all were equal before God, and that all should be treated as bearing the image of God, when he said this in Job 31. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servant, when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them also? Did not the same one fashion all of us in the womb? Now, since there is only one race, the human race, Christians should no longer speak of races. We should either speak of different people groups or nations or ethnic groups or different cultures and see the differences as beautiful. We should not speak of them as racial differences. In other words, if there is only one race, which there is, you cannot speak of a racial difference. The external differences we see in the different people groups of the world in terms of their physical attributes should rather be seen as the beauty marks of God's artistic masterpiece. Every human being is our relative. We are all one blood and one race. All of us are equal in terms of being born in sin, which we inherited from our first parents. We all have the same parents, Adam and Eve, who sinned against God. And we all inherited that sin. But we are all also equally loved by God. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We are all equally redeemed. 2 Corinthians 5 says Christ died for all, and we are all equally forgiven. As John 1 says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now let me use an example to see if I've been able to get the message of God's word across when it comes to people groups. And I want to do so by asking you a question. And the question is this: which of the following is biblically wrong? If your child, who is white, were to marry a black Christian, or if your child, who is white, were to marry a white unbeliever, which of those two choices does God prohibit? According to God's word, God does not prohibit your child or mine, who is white, from marrying a black Christian. But it is wrong for a child of ours to marry a white unbeliever. Why is it not wrong to marry a black Christian if you're white? Because we're all of the same human race. We just have different levels of the pigment melanin in our skin. And yet, how many parents would be more upset if their child was going to marry a black Christian, but wouldn't be upset at all if they were going to marry a white unbeliever? The only marriage that God prohibits is not a marriage to a person of a different color skin. It prohibits marriage to one who doesn't believe in Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them, that is, the unbelievers, and be separate, says the Lord. Our sin is that, in many ways, we've been led to look at the exterior of people's lives rather than the interior of a person, and then to make sinful judgments based on what we see externally. Paul tells us in Romans 12, by the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. So we who are many are all one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The only way to solve the issue of racism is with Jesus' love and forgiveness for all and a proper understanding that builds all of our thinking on God's word. Racism will not be solved with more laws, reparations, riots, or anarchy. And it may even be fueled by the sinful thinking and teaching of evolution. The only solution to the sin of racism or any sin is that of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who, being born of Mary, who probably had a medium brown skin. But what was most important was not our Savior's skin color, but who he was and what he did to save us. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider his being equal with God something to be grasped and held onto, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being found in appearance as a man. Every descendant of Adam and Eve is not only equally loved by God the Father and by Jesus Christ, but every human being is equally saved by Jesus. And how? Because Jesus, true man born of the Virgin Mary, and also true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, became our mutual brother by taking on our human flesh. And even we do not truly know how dark Jesus' skin was, but we do know he had the same pigment that we do. And he took on our blood and our skin. Then, as our mutual brother by blood, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And then he arose again from the dead, having conquered our sin and death and prejudices. And it is our crucified and risen Savior who tells us that we are to love everyone as he first loved us and laid down his life for us. And we are to make disciples of all nations. In the Greek, it's not all races, it's all nations, because there's only one race. How? By sharing the good news with them, that Jesus dropped dead on the cross for their sins, just as he did ours. And as a result, the Lord has forgiven all of our sins and all of theirs, and he remembers them no more, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, regardless of skin color, eye color, hair color, you name it. Why? Because Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children.